Greetings, church. This is Pastor George filling in for Pastor Rock this week while he's away enjoying some much-needed vacation time. This week, number 23, we find ourselves splitting time between the Old and New Testaments by continuing in the book of Acts and also launching into the first five chapters of the book of Joshua. And it's in this Old Testament book that I want to focus on today, because in it, specifically the first chapter, we find a God-provided recipe for transformation that I want to examine. Now, the Old Testament doesn't seem to enjoy a lot of credibility these days, not only with those outside the church, which we should fully expect, but sadly, even with some inside the church as well. It's kind of developed a reputation for being obsolete and not in step with modern culture. However, let me remind you that all of God's Word is still relevant. It's still essential. Truth is truth, and all truth is God's truth. And truth can never be replaced or kicked to the side of the curb, especially in favor of human wisdom, because man's wisdom will always be self-serving, seeking to gratify his own evil desires and inclinations. Yes, Jesus established the new covenant, but he didn't abandon the old covenant in the process. In fact, he fulfilled it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. The truth is, the Old Testament and the New Testament are woven together in perfect harmony, both of which reveal the Creator and Redeemer of all mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I want to focus on today is found in chapter 1 of Joshua. Now, the book of Joshua opens up with the Lord speaking directly to Joshua, and he basically says this: Joshua, my servant Moses is retiring, and it's your turn to lead. And I'm choosing you to replace Moses and lead my people into the promised land. Now, Coach Tomlin often refers to this as next man up. And like Coach Tomlin, God's not expecting any drop-off in performance during or after the transition. Now, Joshua was being summoned by God to be the successor of the greatest prophet that had lived up to that time. And Joshua had to feel the implications of that, because Moses was a heavyweight of the faith, personally chosen by God to pull off the greatest jailbreak in the history of mankind. Replacing Moses wasn't going to be a walk in the park, and Joshua knew that. But so did God, and that's why he equipped Joshua with a formula for transformational success, and we read about that in verse 8 of chapter 1. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Simply put, if Joshua and the people sought to know God's word and obey God's word, then God would work supernaturally on their behalf. However, if they resisted obedience, then not so much. It was really just that simple back then, and it's really still that simple today, because truth and obedience have always gone hand in hand. That's never changed. And if you think about it, knowledge without obedience is just an inward refusal to recognize the lordship of Christ in your life. Jesus said so in John chapter 13. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Supernatural blessing doesn't come from knowledge alone. It comes from knowledge expressing itself through obedience. Learning God's truth is a waste of time if you don't intend to apply what you learn to your life, whether it's difficult or not. James said in chapter 1, but don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Blessing comes from knowing and acting upon knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth is critical. But if there is no obedience, then knowledge becomes impotent and void of any real substance. For example, I could watch YouTube videos all day long and fill my head with knowledge of just about anything, golfing or how to play the guitar, for example. But until I'm willing to pick up a club and go to the course or pick up an instrument and play, my knowledge is useless. That's because our ultimate goal as followers of Jesus is to do God's will. Knowledge is just a prerequisite for that. We learn God's truth so we can apply God's truth. Now, if there's some command of Scripture that you've been unwilling to obey, if you're honest, that's just a refusal to submit and follow Jesus wherever He's leading. And if that's the case, your refusal to obey will stall your spiritual transformation into everything God intends you to be. The choice is always yours. God will never make you obey. At least I don't think so. He can always apply some pressure like He did to Jonah, but mostly He invites you to trust Him through obedience. And when you choose to do that, it activates a supernatural response from Him that is transformational. In John chapter 9, Jesus was willing to transform a blind man into someone that could see, but it required obedience from the blind man to go wash the mud off his eyes in the pool of Siloam. It didn't seem to make any sense at all. Why would Jesus ask a blind man to look for water he couldn't see when He could have just healed him on the spot like He did with so many others? Now, I don't know the answer to that, but what I do know is that His obedience resulted in a miracle that transformed his life. Now, God doesn't command us to obey because He's on some kind of power trip. Far from it. Instead, He commands us to obey because whatever He's asking you to do is good for you, and in many cases, good for the people around you. Hearing God's word and then obeying what you hear not only requires love for God, but it also demonstrates dependence, humility, and submission, all indications of a transforming life. If you feel like your faith is stuck in the mud and you're not sure why, do an honest assessment or self-examination and ask God if you're being disobedient in some area of your life, and then quietly listen to hear what He reveals. On the other hand, oftentimes we know where we're being disobedient, and if that's the case, do whatever it takes to bring yourself in alignment with God's will. Because until you do, you're going to remain stuck and transformation will always feel out of reach. Steps of obedience are crucial to growing your faith. Jesus knows many of His commands are not easy to obey. In fact, some seem almost impossible, like forgiving the people of your past that have hurt and wounded you deeply. But Jesus also knows that all things are possible with God. And here's the hidden secret. When you take steps of faith and obedience, even when you can't see how it makes any sense, just like the blind man, then God supernaturally provides. For example, if you're bitter towards someone and you've been refusing to release that person from your debt, God is not obligated to intervene on your behalf until you actively choose to release that person in obedience to His command to forgive. Because when you repent of bitterness and choose to forgive someone, then God acts on your behalf to supernaturally relieve the bitterness in your soul that's been holding you in bondage. Look, here's the point. Obedience is key to transformation. Joshua and the people weren't afforded the luxury of cherry-picking God's commands, and neither are we. We don't get to pick and choose. Obedience to God isn't bondage. That's a lie the world tells. On the contrary, obedience is liberating and life-giving because God knows exactly what you need and what's best for you. And when you begin to experience divine outcomes to complex circumstances due to your obedience, you won't be able to get enough of obedience. If you want to read an inspiring little book about listening and obeying to God, there's one you can pick up online for only $5 called God Guides. Don't buy it on Amazon. It's too expensive. Go to god-guides.com. It's comprised of short journal entries by a former missionary to India named Mary Gee, G-E-E-G-H. She learned the transformational power of hearing from God and then obeying what He tells her. Her stories remind me a lot of Corrie Ten Boom, if you've ever read any of her books, like Tramp for the Lord, which is particularly inspiring. Well, that's all I have for now. Have a great week listening, reading, and obeying. This is Pastor George. Good day.